Today on Real Life Radio.
There is no discussion about it. There's no opinion poll about it. What it says is what it says. It has always said it, and it's always going to be true that Jesus Christ is Lord, and confession of that truth will be done to the glory of God the Father. If you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. Someday you will do it, and you will believe it.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 4 continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, with verses 5 through 11. In every aspect, Jesus was God in the flesh. The Apostle Paul tells us in these verses that Jesus came down to us so we could call him Lord, and he humbled himself so that we might have eternal life. The most important challenge for mankind, however, is found in verse 11. It tells us that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, every thinking mind must consider who God is. Willingly or unwillingly, Jesus will be confessed as Lord. Today on day one of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that saying Jesus is Lord excludes all others. There is no other name under heaven whose resurrection purchased not only our salvation, but set in motion all that will glorify God for all eternity. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In the fourth part of a message entitled Only God Can Save You Now, we come to verse 11, and it is the most important challenge of all. It is the most important thing that you will ever hear in your life. And so today, with or without your permission, I'm going to ask you to allow the Holy Spirit, as I've been begging him, to possess this service, to control this service, to be all over this service because of the magnitude of what's before us. If this were the last sermon I could ever deliver, I would be happy with this one. Though I don't know how it's going to turn out yet. I don't have to know. It's verse 11. That will matter for you and I, no matter who you might be, no matter where you find yourself eternally on the other side, in heaven or in hell, you will always remember verse 11. You'll never forget it. The Holy Spirit will not let you forget it. It all begins with verse 5. Paul says to the Philippian believers, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, Messiah." Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, an absolute slave of God, and coming in the likeness of mankind. He who was not human became human, and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, verse 9, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those of earth and those under the earth. And here it is, verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A little bit about that title, Only God Can Save You Now. Weeks ago, when we put that message together and put that as the title, it was all based on verse 11 to begin with. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And in that, we saw verses 5 through 7 that Jesus saves uniquely by coming down to us. That the Bible announces it is Jesus Christ who was not born among men as being just a man. He wasn't the byproduct of Joseph and Mary's love. He was the direct, absolute, sent messenger from God the Father to mankind to be mankind's deliverer, but that had to be of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had to be of the Holy Spirit, but he had to come through the Virgin because he had to represent us. He had to know what we experience and feel and hurt and go through. And in the same token, that we might look upon our Christ and say, oh, Jesus, remember me and my affliction and my pain and my sorrow. Jesus, you know what it's like to be rejected. You know what it's like to be hurt and pierced and tortured and mutilated. In every aspect, Jesus suffered for all of us who would know him as our Savior. He came down to us. We saw in verse 8 that Jesus came exclusively by going to the cross. That verse told us that he not only would come and die, but it tells us exactly how he would die. He would go to the cross. And that, by the way, is an Old Testament doctrine. It's not a New Testament idea. Jesus going to the cross was an Old Testament concept and doctrine. And then in verses 9 through 11, we've been learning that he saves absolutely by becoming your Lord. He doesn't force himself upon any of us. Everybody's up in arms so often. Oh, you know, if I don't bow to your God, I'm going to burn in hell. I'm not going to worship a God who forces himself upon. He does not force himself upon you. My dear friend, listen, as you'll hear by the end of this message, if you're not a Christian, you are absolutely en route to hell. Before I was a Christian, I was en route to hell. That was our choosing. That's what we do. We will not have, as the Pharisees said, we agreed with them at one point in time. We will not have this man to rule over us. That's the attitude of the world today. Jesus, out. God, go. His word, banish it from the public square. And God will give America exactly what it's requesting. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Where he's not wanted, he leaves. That has been the history of Israel. It's been the history of nations. And it's what America's living through right now. But what about you as a believer? Though this nation might forsake God, you don't have to. God sends nobody to hell. You've got to crawl over, as Colossians suggests, the book of Colossians, that you have to crawl over the body of Christ to get into hell. That's pretty amazing. He came down for us. He died exclusively on the cross for us, that we might be able to call him Lord. Isn't that precious? And so we saw absolutely visible to the naked eye, he made himself clear in verse 9. We saw in verse 10 that he absolutely is reasonable to the honest heart if we really incline our heart to the word of God. And now verse 11, here we go. Absolutely, listen, he saves absolutely by becoming your Lord, and that is absolutely logical to the thinking mind. He who made your heart and made your body and made your very being is the very God who made your mind. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, now may the God of all grace sanctify you completely, body, soul, that's the word mind, psuche. That's where you get psychology. Psuche, science or study or the words regarding the mind. Psuche, psychology. May God sanctify you body, mind, and spirit, says the Bible. Notice with me that in verse 11, that it says this, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That there is no debate about it. The Bible just says it. Isn't it amazing? Look at it in your Bible. Highlight it. Circle it. There's no debate about it. The Bible just says it. There is no discussion about it. There's no opinion poll about it. What it says is what it says. It has always said it, and it's always going to be true, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and confession of that truth will be done to the glory of God the Father. If you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. Someday you will do it, and you will believe it. Doesn't matter. Just hold your breath. God, the Bible states it as a matter of fact. You know, I love how the Bible is in our faces from the get-go. If you're brand new to the Bible, you can freak out with your first moment in the Bible. Usually when you buy a book, you turn to the first chapter, the first words of the book. And so you turn to Genesis chapter 1, and what does it say? In the beginning, God. Close the Bible, sit back, set it down, and deal with it. Have you noticed that? Nowhere does the Bible suggest, take an opinion poll, or ask you what your thoughts are on it. It says, in the beginning, God. Not a suggestion. It's the way that it is. And the Bible also says with that authority, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The beautiful thing about what we're talking about is it has nothing to do with how you think or what I feel about it. It is a fact. It is going to happen because it is what it is. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the Bible says, carefully, listen. The Bible says in Psalm 14, 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do you know anyone in your life who says there's no God? Biblically, with all biblical authority, you can say, let me shake your hand, my friend. It's nice to meet you. Did you know that you're in the Bible? See, what do you mean? I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter. You're in the Bible. Where does it say that? Psalm 14:1. What's it say about me? It says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Notice that the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It never said the fool has said in his mind, there is no God. Because every thinking mind has to wrestle with. The mind is like the porch that you get things delivered to. Have you noticed that? Good things, bad things. Junk mail, FedEx packages. Lands on your porch, doesn't it? For you to consider. You either pick it up and bring it in, or you pick it up and you take it out. The message comes that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it's deposited right in front of you. And the mind decides, not the heart. The heart is inclined to receive love. The heart is inclined to understand. From the earliest beginnings of a child, acceptance and love and warmth is in the heart. It's the battle of the mind where things happen. The heart is that deep place. But whatever comes to the heart must first go through the mind. And when your mind says there is no God, that is a serious problem. The fool has said in his heart, emotionally, maybe you don't believe in God because your emotions have been hurt. You have angst against God, even though you claim you don't believe in him. But the truth of the matter is your mind wrestles with God. Your mind was created like that, to think. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21. Isaiah 45, 21 says, tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? And who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. By the way, that's the verse that Charles Spurgeon heard and got saved. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath, or there's that word, declare, proclaim, or confess. God says it's coming. God says it's going to be us. God said it's going to be you that will make that confession. Verse 11 goes on. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is amazing because if you look verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name. Verse 10, that at the name. Then you go to verse 11 where we're at. And every tongue should, as you learned last week, will is what the word means, confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And it's to the glory of God, the Father, the declaration. Powerful. Verse 11 by design is perhaps the great departure point for all of mankind. It's a huge statement to make, I understand. But ladies and gentlemen, church family, you cannot get more defining than the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is true in your life more than you might think. More in my lifetime, more clearly now in my lifetime, is it becoming more evident? I'm just wondering how many people are discerning it. That you on a daily basis are being challenged to make a decree, to make an announcement, a confession as to who is Lord. Don't be fooled. Open your eyes. We have a government right now that is saying, no, we'll take care of you. No, wait a minute, I thought God was supposed to take care of me. No, we'll take care of you. Oh, you don't need to tithe. You need to pay taxes. Now, I'm all for paying taxes. How they spend it, that's their business. They'll be judged for that. But notice what's going on right now. No, we'll take care of your health. We'll take care of how much water you can use. We'll take care of how much you can breathe. Listen, dairy men in this region, are there any left? They've all moved. Why? Because the government said, we're going to have to tax you now because your cows are destroying the environment. The government says this. You can't do this. And now, right now, we've got a promise. I promise you America will be safe under my presidency because nobody's going to have any guns. You know what that means? Only good people will not have guns. All the bad people will. Because bad people don't obey laws. What are we saying? What are we hearing? No, Caesar is Lord. And remember, you say, well, that's radical. Hey, get over it. Listen, first century Rome, it ain't nothing. What you and I are living right now ain't nothing compared to first century Rome. If you said, when Paul wrote this, Jesus is Lord, you just wrote your death sentence. Did you know that? We still maybe have the ability to say, Jesus is Lord, without being killed. But in Rome, you died. And what did first century Christians do? They said it anyway. How would you and I fare in first century Christianity? Oh, Pastor, I just wish the church was like the book of Acts. Do you really? Uh-huh, right. You would survive real good. You wear your Christian t-shirt and you're going to be beaten almost, if not to death. Think of it. Is Jesus Lord? Of course he is. But is he your Lord? Is he my Lord? And this verse 11, by design, is a great departure for all of man. And I'll prove it to you. Matthew chapter 16. Mark it in your margins or turn to it quickly, which I always suggest you to turn to it quickly for two reasons. Number one, you should always use Sundays and Wednesdays as Bible drill. There should be, the sound of this church should sound like this. And the second thing is, I love the way it sounds when the church sounds like this. It's a healthy sound. I know that's tough today with all this modern day junk we have with Bibles on apps and stuff. And I told you guys before, somebody needs to make $1 million in this church if you create an app that when you turn in your pages on your phone, it makes the sound of pages turning. Now, according to Old Testament rules, I get 10% of whatever you make off that idea. Just kidding. Not really. Anyway, Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, note, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Not what, but who. So they said, you could almost see them in this little huddle. Oh man, how do we answer this question? Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now granted, ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty cool crowd to be involved in. I'd like people to mistake me for Jeremiah. But not when you're the Son of God asking the question. Verse 15, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Isn't that what Jesus is saying today? Who do you say that I am? Am I your Lord? Am I the Lord of your life? Am I the Lord of your home, your marriage, your children? Who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, and I got to tell you, this had to shock him. I think as soon as it came out of Peter's mouth, he thought, what in the world did I just say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. That was his dad's name. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. You are a pebble. That's Peter's name means a pebble. Did you know that? Peter's name means a little chip off a rock, a pebble. By the way, in this statement, he's announcing Peter's calling. And on this rock, now he's announcing the mission. The word rock is not a pebble. The word rock is something monumental. Hey, pebble. What you just said is a huge rock. It is a foundational stone. Listen, my dear Catholic friends this morning, I know you're here because you told me you come here and you get Bible study and then you go to Mass after first service. That's fine with me. I get that. Just go tell your priest today what Jesus said. Peter is a pebble. Peter made a statement. Based on the statement, Jesus said, that's the rock. That's the foundation. Peter is not the rock. There is no Greek scholar in the last 2,000 years that would argue that Peter is the rock. Every Greek scholar will argue that what Peter said is the foundational rock. Of what? We ask the question as Bible students. Of what? Well, good question. Glad you asked. Follow along. And I will build my church. You build things on foundations. Is the church built on the foundation of Peter? If so, shut the lights off, turn off the microphone, let's go goof off and let's go to the beach or ski. I don't know what's going on today. Forget it, church is over. If church is founded upon a man, we're done. Thank God it's not. It's founded upon the rock. And what or who is the rock? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the victory. I thought you'd all say, yeah, woo! I know it's early, but that's it. I could close my Bible. Good night and God bless. That's the end. That's it. There it is right there. That's all the power you need to know. But to say that Jesus Christ is Lord would have made you guilty of committing the most offensive, intolerant declaration possible in that day and age. To say Jesus is Lord, you know why? It excludes all others. Did you know that? To say Jesus is Lord. But this was expected of you as a believer in the first century. The word is Kyrios Kaiser. Kyrios Kaiser. What is that? What did, if you said Kyrios Kaiser? Kyrios Kaiser is Caesar's Lord. If you shouted Caesar's Lord, you were okay in the kingdom. Did you know you were stopped and asked? It was none of this, let's go hold an outreach. Listen, the Roman Empire by very nature would say, they would ask you, Kyrios Kaiser? And you'd say, Kyrios Kaiser. You would say in that, Hail Caesar. It's kind of haunting, is it, if you think about it? It wasn't very long ago when people were saying, Hail Hitler. Did you know it's the exact same thing? Kyrios Kaiser, Kyrios. Caesar's Lord, government's Savior, government's Messiah. Caesar is Lord. This man, Caesar, is God on earth. Did you know that's what it means? Go look it up later. For a Roman to admit that Caesar is Lord is to say that we have a God on earth. Sound familiar? Isn't that Satan's plan to always mimic, always knock off? Wow. To confess Kyrios Isos was to seal your death.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. There is a day when judgment is coming, and the truth is, only God can save you now. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, if we are the church and the church is us, what does that mean when it comes to our personal relationship with Jesus? Many relationships fail when not enough time is spent with the one you love. And the same is true with our love for Jesus. One way to keep our relationship alive and well is to have some quality one-on-one devotion time with Him. It really can be a life-changing experience, and it's why Pastor Jack has included devotions at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a verse along with a personal story from Pastor Jack. It's a great way to spend some quality time with the Lord. So head on over to our website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one each week along with previous devotions for a daily experience. And if you're blessed by Pastor Jack's devotions, there's a link provided if you'd like to send an email. It's all right there at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.